could see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry, cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambell, and I'm the host of this program, and welcome. Family, a slower pace, of course, that's famous last words in my Bible study. And I try to, on my Bible studies, not mix the socio-economic, political, whatever, agenda in with the Bible studies. Although the socio-economic political agenda is so intermeshed into the Bible study, it's what Satan is using to foment his plans for the New World Order, but he is held back. He is held back by God. Because you see, God's no rush to make it happen. You know why? Because he wishes that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. Because he knows the numbers are going to be small. Unlike what Dr. Schuller, a 33rd degree Mason, and Billy Graham, another Freemason, say that the God's mercy is wide. No, it's not. Those that accept Jesus Christ, okay. Those reject Jesus Christ because of their own free will, not good. That's why he's waiting. So that we, those that in the Great Commission, that you've become born again, that you just don't say, well, I'm born again. I'm going to hunker down here in my home and not say anything to anybody or not do anything. I'm just going to hold on to my born again status and not tell nobody. I'm not going to say anything to anybody. I don't want to upset nobody. So I'm just going to be quiet. Well, no, that's not good stewardship. If you think it is, read the Great Commission. It's no different. That's for the apostles, not us disciples. No, it's for us too. To spread that great commission once you got the good news. I'm sure if you won $50 as a scratch-off, you'd be talking at this water fountain at the office. Yeah, guess what I won? Hey, I won $50. Yeah. You'd be shouting the good news, wouldn't you? Well, what's the difference? This is the good news, except the good news you're shouting at the top of your lungs about salvation is saving others, getting them in the right path. Family, eternal life is a long time. There's no calendars in heaven. There's no calendars in hell. And there is a hell. God created hell for the fallen angels and Satan, not for mankind. As I said earlier in my broadcast at 4, somewhere in that 2-hour period, God didn't create mankind with the rule that if you sin, you die, and then create hell to throw you there, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, God being the perfect creator, said, I'll die in their place. Oh, that solved that problem. I'll take the punishment. But they must repent of their sins. Acknowledge that they have sinned. At least acknowledge it. But to him and him alone. No priest or pope or Mary or rabbi or some other human being or even someone that you think's dead, gone to heaven. Don't matter. Only Jesus Christ died in our place. And only he is our intercessor. No Mary, no Bodhisattva, no the Christ, no Krishna or Imam Mahdi or Timbuktu, Elmer Fudd come out of the grave, whatever. It don't matter. Only Jesus Christ. That's it. And we certainly can't do it by ourselves. If you want to believe that we as human beings, Freemasons, New Agers, Hindu, Buddhist, Mormon, whatever, that if you inherited a planet, Mormon, you keep coming back doing over and over, Hinduism, show me. Can you all tell me one that's really come back from the dead? Freemasons, y'all waiting for that day that y'all will evolve into the next human evolution, something rather, Superman, something, I don't know what, Rosicrucians. What about the ones that's died? Are you waiting for that moment that you'll be alive? Or you ever thought about that? Why don't you ask your Master Mason that question? What about the Freemasons that's died since the 18th century? Do they get cheated out of it? Or are you going to pull them out of the grave? They'd be a little smelly by now, I bet. They need a bath, awful bad, if they come back to life. Shoo-wee! Ever thought about that? Or just kind of let it go? Or is this kind of like a musical chair generation? That you're hoping you're the generation that gets evolved into the next Superman or something or other. Well, I got news for you. The reality is, they're lying to you. And they, in fact, have it documented. It's documented. Chapter 15 of the Protocols. They're going to kill every Freemason once they have total control. It's documented. They're going to kill you. They're not going to let you live. They're lying to you at the Freemason Lodge that you're going to evolve into another superhuman or whatever. That's a lie from the straight of hell. Chapter 15, the Protocols. Check it out. You can get out of it. No, but I took an oath to God to keep secrets. No, you didn't. You took a fraudulent oath against God. That means he'll forgive every sin except for unbelief, which is equivalent to blasphemy. The Holy Spirit is one sin he cannot forgive of unbelief. But every other sin, he'll forgive you, but you must acknowledge it, renounce it, and ask him for forgiveness. You're no longer under that oath. You're free. Right now, man, you're in bondage. You're a slave to your blood oath. and your material goods and everything you got material, you're a slave. Nothing more than a ball and chain. Satan placates you with your finances, your financial situation, all the gold you got. You're going to lose it all. That's a promise. Buy gold. Whether the coming economic crisis. They don't tell you when they have the economic crisis. And what they don't tell you is what they've already done. In 1933, 1972, they will confiscate the gold in a disaster situation when they declare martial law. They'll make it illegal to sell gold. You go to jail for it. They will confiscate all your gold and the weapons. And they got it fixed to where the average citizens will tell on you if you have a weapon. Why? Well, because they're going to launch a major crime wave. Mercenaries. Nationwide, and to declare martial law to help you, they'll say you have to turn in your weapons, or anybody has one, let's know. So you have neighbors telling on you. So they'll declare martial law because they're a fear. You say, well, the military can't do anything. Police are too many. They got that solved. They have Russians, Chinese, German, French troops, in the United States right now, since 1993, ready and eager to take over. Yeah, haven't even talked to you about the Nephilim, the hybrids, when they release those suckers. Family, Jesus Christ is the solution and the only solution. Order out of chaos. God uses the same principle. It's called the 7-year tribulation. I'd say that's a whole lot of chaos. Seven trumpets, seven seals, seven trumpets. That's a whole lot of chaos to give someone an opportunity to say, I give up. Lord, come into my life. That's why he loves you. Because the tribulations will wake you up and out of this matrix of Satan's influence. Everybody's in this matrix of whatever. There I go again. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. I get going quick, and I dedicate the broadcast. Lord, thank you tonight for us to be able to come together. Father, we dedicate this program, this Bible study to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we lift up to you our worship, our study, our desire to want to learn, Father, to keep us protected with the blood of Jesus. Guide us along. Give us inspiration, discernment, and wisdom, the words to speak to others, to share in what we've learned, to be humble, to be able to receive from others as well, that, Lord, that we all are teaching each other. Lord, we pray for our family members that don't know the Lord. We pray for those that's been infected, that's been hurt by these vaccines, by the cigarettes, all these things that's been designed to take human bodies down. Then, Lord, with your supernatural power, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Father, will cause healing to happen, and through the healing to glorify your name for others. Father, we pray for the leaders of the nations. We pray for the Freemasons, secret society members, as Father, that don't know the truth, that, Father, they'll have the courage to renounce that blood oath. We pray for those in the military, those in the government, to have the courage to step away from this agenda, step away from this conspiracy against the American people and against the European people and against people of the world through the secret societies. Follow the Luciferian agenda. That, Lord, you reveal the truth about these fallen angels. That, Father, you'll strip down their protection and expose them for who and what they are. And, Father, we pray for protection of the children that are being identified and abducted for these sacrifices coming up. in March and April. And Lord, for the tragedies that's getting ready to happen during the month of April, Lord, that with your blood of Jesus, Father, you'll protect, cause miracles to happen. And whatever tragedy happens, Lord, in the future, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be glorified, that you be glorified through these miracles. Father, these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, he did deliver us from evil. When he gave up his life on the cross. Excuse me. When he lived a perfect life. Gave his life up on the cross. But resurrected and ascended. He delivered us from evil on that day. That's how important it is. Otherwise, no human being would ever be able to make it to heaven. We'd live, we'd die, and end up in hell. There's no such thing as annihilation, like a universalist think, or other so-called Christian sects, S-E-C-T-S. Their beliefs do not establish the reality. The true Word of God in the King James Bible, and King James Bible alone, and nobody can refute that, stands. It always has. Before it was the Scriptures, the source of the King James Bible stood in a separate stream of translation, all the way back to the originals written by disciples and prophets and Moses. And all those written by Moses, as brought to him by God, the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets, disciples of the New Testament, in his own separate stream of translation, stands alone, is reflected word for word, perfectly, inerrantly, in the King James. No other Bible can say such a thing, because in fact, they all come from one Origen. No pun intended, the Greek philosopher was named Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, in the 4th century. Corrupted his version of it, his copies, and that became the second Bible source, and the source for every Bible you have today. If there's 323 Bibles, verses, or versions, all 323 come from that one version. But the King James is all by itself. Stands alone. Now that's the facts. Those are the facts. Many, 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 most theologians either hide it, lie about it, or don't have a clue. And most all of them are on your international circuit, got books and CDs, and they steer you away in the best way possible they can think, away from the King James Bible. It's the majority, not the minority. Jeremiah, one of the last prophets of leading into John the Baptist. Jeremiah, I think, my opinion here, laid the groundwork for John the Baptist. And John the Baptist laid the groundwork for Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, the crying prophet, said, I have heard what the prophet said, their prophecy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophecy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath a word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. And behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I send them not, nor commandeth them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. These are false prophets today on the YouTube. Blood moons, 3 days of darkness is all baloney. Hague is full of baloney. Jonathan Kahn is full of baloney. Leal, we're not great Babylon. No way, no how. I got an answer for that one, but I'm not going to answer it now. It's not part of what we're talking about. But America is not Babylon. And they're counting on you not knowing the scriptures and that, oh, I'm so published lectures, then you'll believe me and you won't look at your Bible. Like, what's his name? Arnold Murray. Quote, you don't have to read the Bible, just listen to me, unquote. That's the sure sign, grade A cult developers, like Christian Identity. I get down to names, I get down to rebuking, correcting. We can't judge anybody. I can't judge anybody, that's for sure. But you doggone sure, according to 1 and 2 Timothy, you can rebuke, correct about the word. Not judge moral character. We can't do that. You see, that's the trick they try to use. You can't judge anybody not correcting you and rebuking you because what you're saying is not in the Bible. Not judging your moral character. I can't do that. Who am I to judge anybody? I'm the last one to judge anybody for what I did in my past. I'll tell you right up. I have. But we can correct. That's not judging. So really, that's the trick they're using. To put the guilt back on you where the guilt doesn't lie. Lie meaning to lay. But the guilt does lie if it's used. That's a kind of pun, wasn't it? Lord, empty me of me so I can be filled with you. I had an epiphany. Well, I talked about one today about how they're sneaking in on you, everybody. That horrific, unbelievable legislation for euthanasia for children and adult elderly. It's coming. It's sneaking up on you. So a child, your child that may be disabled, but then it'll go past that, by the way, can euthanize themselves if they choose to, and you as a parent have no say-so in it. And then your grandmother, your mother or whatever that's elderly, I guess that's age, whatever you fit, can decide to euthanize themselves because of all the isms they may have or whatever. Don't have to depend on God. I just euthanize myself, commit suicide. And you can't do anything about it. It's sneaking up on everybody. Belgium's passed it. Oregon's passing it. And many states are getting ready to jump on it. And they're sneaking up on you while y'all worried about plastic coffins and FEMA and camps and all this sort of thing. Now it's what? It's Putin doing some kind of nonsense, working with Obama. They all work together. The Pope, Obama, Putin. It's all in the same old game. And they work together behind the scenes to keep us busy. And you got the fallen angels and calling themselves aliens and blah, 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 blah. This goes and goes. I just have to keep myself. I keep my eye on the ball, on the priorities, not get caught away. Sometimes you catch yourself doing all this research and all that stuff and analyzing, and you say, wait a minute. That's all well and fine, but what's the end game? Why the remission of sins by blood? Why? Why did God pick that? Adam and Eve was the first blood sacrifice. They began to die the day they sinned. Blood sustained their body long enough for them to procreate for 900 years. God let people live that long so they'd procreate and build a population. Then after Noah, he cut it down to 120 years. Satan tries to take away the 120 years by taking away the life force, so the lifespan will be even less, and replace it with his own creation, or manipulation, I should say. Eugenics, transhumanism, mixing binary code and DNA and so forth. The animal sacrifices that took the place of Adam and Eve having to die. The animal sacrifices taught to Adam and Eve by God was passed on to Abel, Cain and Abel. And unlike what Christian Identity and these other cult groups believe, it's not supported by the Bible. They twist the scripture to make it look like it. But Eve did not have sex with Samuel or Satan in the Garden of Eden. Taking the fruit off the tree was not sex, for goodness sakes. And Cain was not the son of Samuel and Eve, or Satan and Eve. They can't make up their minds. Cain and Abel was the son of Adam and Eve. Hello. I know you use Genesis 4:1. Lo, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She knew it was a man, a male, when he came out and had a little penis on there. He said, oh, I got a man from the Lord. Wow, Cain, where you go? Whoa, amazing. It's her first son. They try to say that I got a man from the Lord by saying that he had sex in the Garden of Eden with Satan, like the fallen angels, Genesis 6:4. Oh, that's tricky, Christian Identity. Real sneaky. Arnold Murray, Herbert Armstrong. Mankind was angels before they became man. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. So Adam and Eve passed on how to sacrifice animals in lieu of themselves, of dying themselves. Cain said, no, I till the ground. I'm going to use my work. Abel followed the rules. Cain killed Abel. Abel took a niece or half-sister or a sister or whatever, because people followed Cain out of that area into the land of Nod, the land of wilderness, wandering. That's what that means. Nod wasn't a town or a territory or whatever. Nod in Hebrew means wandering, wanderer. The first city was Enoch, named after Cain's first son, Enoch. The second Enoch is on the bloodline of Seth, Enoch under Jared. That's the second Enoch, and Enoch did not write a book. The book of Enoch is Gnostic, 80-90% truth about fallen angels and 20% baloney. I think I covered the gambit there. So the sacrificing of animals was the anticipation of the Savior coming. But they thought he was coming in on a white horse to liberate them like a a warrior with a sword to fight the oppressors. But he came to liberate us from sin by dying on the cross. Oh, the white horse is coming, but it's only after Armageddon, which is when he comes. It's called the second coming. Jews were looking for something else and were disappointed. Didn't expect God to come down to mankind himself. God was among them. They didn't realize it. The very God that created them was among them, came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Isn't that something what God would do? He should have come in on, what, a white horse and a purple thing and a big sword. I am here. He didn't. He come in like the scripture said he would, humbly. Something alive had to die for the remissions of sins. For the wages of sin was death, the shedding of blood. Why? Because God hates sin. Sin required the blood to be then put into the body, because sin caused death. To sustain the life of Adam and Eve, blood supernaturally was created by God to flow the body. The heart became to pump this blood, this life-giving blood. Because as supernatural beings, as they were created, did not require blood and body, just flesh and bones. Blood was after. All human beings will be judged. Even Mother Earth, that's been corrupted, will be judged by fire after the 1,000-year millennium. New heaven and new earth by fire, not water. God created hell for the angels that sinned. He gave them free will, so they knew about the supernatural, obviously, because they were spiritual. On earth, they take physical, called manifestation, invocation. Sons of God with what they were. But you know, free will is a double-edged sword. Without free will, you can't love unconditionally. You can't be obedient unconditionally. Otherwise, you're a robot. Can you force someone to love you? No, you can't. Dogs just go along with the program. As long as you feed them and love them and all this, they're there. Cats? Oh, that's another story. Come here, kitty, kitty. You pick them up. Get away. Leave me alone. I won't be touched right now. Okay, you can touch me now. But after you feed me. And looks up at you and looks at the bowl with the white part where there's no food there and there's food on the corner. You expect me to eat that? Looks at you again, up there again. Are you going to fill up that white spot where there's no food, there? You going to put food there for me? Or what? Yeah. And how about some water too there, fella? Oh. And I'll sleep where I want to. Okay, I'm ready to jump in your lap, and you will rub me. Okay, I'm done. I'm getting down. That's the way cats are, man. God hates sin. All sin will be judged. He hates sin so bad, loves us so much, he gave his only begotten. He gave his only begotten Son that we may see life. He had to give us free will. He gave the angels free will. Without free will, you cannot love unconditionally. Forced love is not love at all. Without free will, there's no need for hell. People would not be responsible for their actions, because it'd be made to love. So there would be no hell. Without hell, there'd be no love. Without hell, there'd be no just God for punishment of those that went against him and others, humans. Without free will, you cannot choose to love or obey God unconditionally. Forced obedience is no obedience. Angels are the same. However, they're not flesh and blood. Therefore, they cannot die. So they'll spend eternity in punishment for the supernatural. There's only two places to go when you turn away from God. There's only two places to go when you make your decision. You reject God. You pretty much have decided you'd rather have hell than God. You accept God because you love him, because it's your choice. That's why there's no annihilation. Annihilation would be reward. Sin all you want. I'll just block you out and you won't feel nothing. Oh, okay. No problem. Or conditional time in hell would still be no punishment. Hey, man, I'm going to have fun in this world. Yeah. I'll spend some time in hell. It'll hurt a little bit. Whatever. Then I'll be good while I'm in hell. And man, this ain't prison. Let me tell you something. So there's no annihilation. When you die, you're going to heaven or going to hell. Your body goes to the ground. It'll join you back again in the judgment in a supernatural way. Your body, your soul, and your spirit will be together again, but for eternity. It just depends where you're going to spend it. The body is punished by the first death, the blood. Then the soul receives the second death, hell, meant for Satan and his angels. To annihilate would be reward. And because God loves us so much, he sends us conviction and guilt to get over our sin. To get our attention, to let us know you're going the wrong direction. Come back. Well, Satan tries to thwart that by music, drugs, fun times, apathy, different ways. That's exactly what's going on today. We strayed. Satan offers rewards for straying, pride, achievement, distractions for taking our minds off of it. When you're in high school or college, let's say high school, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, whatever, hypothetically here, and you were the winner of the 100-yard dash, you were All-State, you were All-American, whatever, and you got your plaque up there. There it is. You go by every 10 years to see your name there. Then one day you go by, guess what? The school's not there. The school's gone. They tore it down and built something else. Oops. Uh-oh. Heaven's eternal. Rewards on earth is not. So why did God have a blood sacrifice? You know, the whole of the New Testament, the Old Testament, every book points toward the great sacrifice that was to come. In summary, that's Jesus' sacrifice. His giving of his own life on our behalf, Leviticus 17:11. It's the Old Testament central statement about the significance of blood in the sacrificial system. Why something so drastic? God, speaking to Moses, declared, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So, sacrifice is defined as the offering of something precious for a cause or a reason. Making this atonement, it's kind of satisfying someone or something for an offense that's been committed. We can't imagine our Creator hating sin, not the sinner, but hating the sin so bad. Because down here on earth, we have color-coded systems. A white lie, black lie. If I tell a lie, I can cross my fingers. I guess that makes it better. We have a dollar amount to the amount of sin that it is. I can steal a dollar. What's the big deal? Come on. Or a candy bar out of a store. Steal it. That's my intention. But they put us in jail for stealing $10,000. So we have put value on sin. No, God sees it all exactly the same. He doesn't color code it. He doesn't give it a dollar figure. He looks at the heart and the intention of the heart. So God said, "Then I have given it to you, the creature's life, which is in its blood, to make atonement for yourselves, covering the offense you've committed against me." So in other words, it's saying that those who are covered by the blood sacrifice are set free from the consequences of sin. However, Israelites did not know of Jesus per se. They knew a Messiah was coming. They knew not how he would die on the behalf of them and rise again. They did believe that God would be sending them a Savior. You know, all the many, just many blood sacrifices that you read about throughout the Old Testament, they were all foreshadowing that true, once-for-all-time sacrifice to come to the Israelites. They would never forget that. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So, this shedding of blood, which was a result of sin in the first place, is kind of a substitute, which you might call a substitutionary act. So when you go through Leviticus in 17:11, and about the last clause of it, could read that the blood makes atonement at the cost of the life, the animal's life. Or makes atonement in the place of the life, the sinner's life, with Jesus Christ being the one giving life through his own shed blood. So now if you go to New Testament, and supposedly that Paul wrote Hebrews, that's questionable, but if you look at some of the words in it and how it's translated, it looks like Paul's writing. So it's kind of a mystery, but either way, it's a book ordained by God to be in there. All of them are, all 66. By 40 inspired authors, perfectly transcribed and perfectly translated to give you the King James. How's that for introductory? Hebrews 9:11-18 confirms the symbol of blood as life and applies to Leviticus 17:11. And this is linked up to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to verse 12. It states very clearly that the Old Testament blood sacrifices were temporary, and they only atoned for sin only partially and for a short time. So they had to repeat the sacrifices on a yearly basis. But when Jesus entered the most holy place, he did so to offer his own blood once and for all time. By one man, The world was condemned by one man. The world was saved. Today, he's your intercessor. When he comes back the second time, he is your judge. Big, big difference. He did so, he offered his own blood once and for all, right? So it made future sacrifices unnecessary. That's what it means by his dying words on the cross. It is finished. John 19, verse 30. So, never again would the blood of bulls and goats cleanse men from their sin. That's why the real, unlike what Jonathan Click and all these others are saying, the real abomination of desolation at in the 3.5 years of the tribulation, which has not begun yet, is the abomination of desolation when the Antichrist walks in to the temple that has to still be rebuilt and stops the sacrifices of animals. He declares himself, I am God. No need to sacrifice. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Did I just say stop the sacrifices? Yep, I sure did. That means it's the first seal when the Antichrist signs or confirms a peace covenant with Israel. Israel will turn their back on God, John Hagee. You better read your Bible a little better. And they would turn their back on God, the ones with the Star of David, the occult symbol of witchcraft. That star, yeah, because the real Hebrews has a menorah candlestick, is the real symbol of the real Jews. Oh, yeah. They will turn their back on God and begin the sacrifices once again. And that will bring on the second seal, which is World War III. And it gets ugly from then on. Hadn't started yet. He says it's finished. Never again, blood of bulls and goats cleanse men from their sins. Then what does? Well, accepting Jesus' blood on the cross for the remission of sins. So can you stand before God covering his righteousness of Christ? And family, that blood didn't seep down into a crevice, go down 15, 20, 30 feet or whatever, and fall on the ark. There's no way. It's got nothing to do with nothing. Because they're going to say a DNA test. Yeah, they got some tricky stuff coming. And they're going to start finding new scrolls, new books. They're going to find some rusty old, I don't know, archaeological site. We found new books and new scrolls. Oh, here we go. Bagley and the rest of them. Baloney. God didn't make any mistakes. King James Bible's final. Revelation 22, 18, 19. It don't matter one lick of difference. The Vatican lies anyway. Murdered 68 million people from 1200 to 1800 AD. You want to trust them? 70 to 100,000 people in 1 week. St. Bartholomew Massacre in the 16th century. You want to trust them then? And in 1941 to 45, the Vatican under Ustasha was administrators to a concentration camp called Jasanovic in Croatia. Well, all they did, though, really was murder unbelievably and horrified even the SS, 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians. That's a lot of them. And 60,000 Jews. That's a lot of Jews. And 26,000 gypsies. That's a lot of gypsies. In one concentration camp administered by Bishop Stefanich. Ustasha, U-S-T-A-S-H-A, in Croatia. The SS and Nazis were like horrified at the cruelty of these people. No family. Everyone will be judged. Those who accept Jesus Christ will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, yet to come. Those that reject Jesus Christ will be judged at the end of the 1,000 years, at the great white throne judgment. Then the works will be looked at, and it's up to God where he sends them and how much of a torment they're going to be going to. They're not going to be able to plead their case. Right now is the pleading of the case. And Jesus is doing that now to his Father against the accuser. I take advantage of it right now while I can. It's a blue light sale that's going to end. It ends at your death. And there's a time when the tribulation is coming, it'll end about that time too. So your main weapon isn't an AK-47. It's not an M4. It's not a Sig Sauer or a 50 caliber carbine or 50 caliber or a 30 caliber carbine. It's none of the above. Because what do you do when you run out of bullets? Nobody covers that in these survival talk shows and all. They don't talk about that. What do you do when you run out? I mean, how much deer do you think is out there and fish that somebody else ain't already caught? And you're not going to have, you know, restaurants when the New World Order takes over. Prosperity period, you might. But that mark of the beast is coming. It's another story. Don't worry about kids and old folks. They'll be euthanized as planned by the health care bill. Talked about that today. All this is unpleasant to talk about, but it's what's coming. It's not speculation. So what's your main weapon? Prayer is your main weapon. That's your ticket. And what happens? People get frustrated with God because He doesn't answer my prayers. I think tonight I'm probably going to end up talking just about that. I want to talk about the demonic realm, but I don't think I'm going to get to it tonight. I will tomorrow night, though. I think what's more important is talk about prayer and why there's hindrances to prayer. Because if you have prayer and faith in God, you're born again. It don't matter what the demons do. If you got influence with demons, you're already missing out on a prayer. Kind of could put the cart before the horse. There's several reasons why God does not answer prayers. I'll talk about these in detail. One, you refuse his son as your savior because he died on the cross for you. I just talked about that. To refuse his son as a savior. Number two, when you're backslidden, saved but not obedient, he's not going to answer your prayer. You just keep sliding back and back until you become obedient. Then he'll answer your prayer. We won't until. He might send you divine appointments to exercise your free will to come back to him. Deliver you from evil. Uh-huh. But you got to make that step. When your faith wavers, Mother Teresa, her faith wavered unmercifully. You should read what she wrote. Toward the end of her life, She almost had no faith. Four, when your faith is misplaced, the wrong things. Five, when you ask in prayer for selfish reasons, it goes from more being a prayer to a curse. When you pray with unforgiveness in your hearts toward your fellow man or yourself, if you're unforgiven of yourself, someone wrote me information that I found very significant. I believe it goes along those lines. This person actually something I talked about last year and brought this up to me a couple days ago, pretty much reconfirming what I'd learned myself about what they're doing to our troops over there in Iraq and Afghanistan by design, not only causing them to commit suicide, thereby sending them to hell, but creating situations by design that they will not forgive themselves because it goes against their training, goes against their lives here as they brought to them over there, so that the guilt would set in immeasurably. I can tell you right now, I was a captain in the Marine Corps, and I can tell you right now from what I'm hearing, I would not be over in Iraq and Afghanistan too long. They would probably dishonorably discharge me. I can probably imagine that. Matter of fact, I know they would. Because I'm the old school. If I'm given an illegal order, I'll tell the commander to stick up his wazoo. Because you can refuse the illegal orders. Because you can have a wacko major or a colonel that's politically entwined. They get stupid on you. I'm not going to obey his orders. I believe in being outspoken. But illegal orders, orders that's detrimental to your troops, I'm not going to do it. I know that Major General Michael Jackson of the Brits refused an order by Powder Puff Wesley Clark, who was a Rhodes Scholar, a traitor to this country, a liar, a globalist, an Illuminati, who tried to start World War III in June 1999. Oh, yeah. So you can refuse the illegal orders. That's not very good for your continuity of your career, because they're today become very political, to say the least. Well, here's the point. They would get 3-day passes was offered to the troops for killing a soldier or killing terrorists with a knife. They get a 3-day pass for it. That's a little odd. Would you not kill the enemy then with anything you've got or the weapon you have or whatever way? But no, specifically a 3-day pass for killing another soldier in Iraq or terrorist with a knife. See, what they didn't tell him is a form of satanic sacrifice by the soldiers unknowingly. You sacrifice people on sacrificial tables using knives, daggers. Yeah. And then they cause them to kill innocents, knowing it would affect them immeasurably. So, here's the point. They come back, they have immeasurable guilt upon themselves that's used to foment the suicides by technology and antidepressant pills. So, back to what I was saying. They cannot forgive themselves for what they did, and it's a catch-22. But you've got to forgive yourselves. Because God gave his only begotten son to die so that you would be able to. Satan, in the hierarchy of humans and the hierarchy of the fallen angels and where they have this set up, is making sure you don't. Well, I say don't let them beat you. I say forgive yourself. That's why I died on the cross, just for that reason. Your commanders mean nothing. And the Knights of Malta mean nothing. And these wars are set up all along, ahead of time. I'm not going to go into that right now. I've talked about this before. This is very important, what I'm saying. One must be saved to have power in prayer. You got to be born again. To be born again, you got to forgive yourselves. That's where I was headed. According to the Bible, somebody who rejects the Lord Jesus as Savior can pray only one prayer. He can cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. The moment he cries for mercy, God will save him. As long as he refuses to accept Jesus as a way to God, heaven's door is closed to every plea. People can deny it, but it's in the Bible. Some deny it, and they claim that all men are God's children. Hence, they have the right to pray. But Jesus declares that except one be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3, verses 3 to 5. He cannot enter God's kingdom, even with his petition. It's closed to him until he enters through Jesus and is born again. You go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's 1 Timothy 2:5. If there is only one, there has to be one. And we cannot reach God except through him because of our sins. Heaven's door and God's ears can shut to us. That's what Jesus meant when he says, whatsoever ye ask in my name, to ask in his name is to recognize that he's the one mediator. And that's whom we must come when we pray. If I never received an answer to any prayers, I'd wonder if I were saved. Satan likes you to think that too late also. But God answers the prayers of his children. If you never get an answer, then what you do is you search the scriptures to determine whether or not you've genuinely trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're riding the fence. I tell you what, I'd recommend that you kind of read especially the first epistle of John. Number two, actually, we must walk in fellowship to have power in prayer. So, if you walk in fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, you know, the words of Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It's John 15:7. God won't answer the prayer of a Christian who's living in rebellion to his word and will. And James tells us that, quote, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man, of an unrighteous man, avails nothing. David declares the binding truth when he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. You know, God's not to blame. Everybody blames God for everything. Isaiah declares the truth in these words. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. He will not hear. But you say, Lord, I got this bucket list I got to perform or complete before I die. It's more important than you. Or I'll get around to it, Lord, when I get time. Uh-huh. And you wonder sometimes why the tribulations are coming? The reason most of us don't get our prayers answered is because we knowingly sin against God. We fail to hear and heed Him in the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us in the conviction and trials. Hence, he fails to hear when we cry to speak to him. We blame him for not hearing our prayers. It's our own fault. Because our sins blocked our prayers so that they don't reach heaven. I got a little story. It's called The Dead Owl on the Line. There's a family living out of the northwest section of the country. Was stranded in her home for days due to the storm. Food gave out, and father went to the old-fashioned telephone to order the grocer to send out more food, and he rang Central, but couldn't get an answer. Finally, he's angry. He snatched down the receiver and said, I'm going right down there and have this thing taken out. So the operators won't pay attention to me when I ring. They're down there gabbing while I wring my head off, and they won't pay attention to me. So he went to the telephone company and demanded they remove the phone. They told him they had not received any signal, did not know he was trying to get a number. He didn't want to believe them. He demanded that they go at once, remove the phone. So them knowing that something was kind of out of order, they traced the lines from central office to the man's home. Well, they found that the lines came within a few inches of each other at one point, and that an owl had lighted on one end of the line and froze to death, fell across the other line, short-circuited. So the man had not been ringing central at all. He was ringing a dead owl. So, a lot of us, we get on our knees to pray, but instead of calling to heaven, we kind of ring up dead owls. Our prayers don't get past the sins and the cross lines. Who are the dead owls? You know, greed, lust, different frequencies. I've talked about this before. Hatred of our fellow man, unforgiveness of ourselves, unforgiveness of others. Being worldly, open disobedience to God's commands keeps us from getting in contact with Him. Family, this is a trial and test for heaven. Failure is heading to hell, as simple as that. It's like boot camp, if you will. First thing you got to pray for is when you come to God is for him to remove those dead owls out of your life. Cleanse you so there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. So seek to live the life that God honors you with answers to your prayers. And see them in subtle ways. So you ask yourself, are your prayers unanswered? Well, if they are, look back. Let the ego and pride go. Search your heart then to see if there's any wicked way that it may come in. And read the word to see if you're failing to obey the plain teachings of the Bible. But you say, no, wait a minute. I'm a summa cum laude in a big college. Or I went to school of theology. I'm smart. Oh, okay. Remember, no sin is worth the price of robbing you of having your prayers answered. You pray God's going to deliver you from sins, both those you know and those you don't. Always seek constantly to abide in him. That's where you got to learn about him. Now, you can spend your days reading the Book of Enoch all you want. Just have at it. It's not going to get you anywhere. If they're not Jesus Christ coming down supernaturally, they are evil. If an angel does come to you, you test the spirits if it's here in the name of Jesus. Seek constantly to abide in him, his words abide in you. You know, that can only come only through careful, constant study of the Bible. It's what we're doing now, and frequent prayers. Got to have faith. And you know, unshakable faith, David Wilkerson talks about that. It's another condition that's got to be met for your prayers to be answered. He knows your heart. You can't fool him. Faith is frequently is given as one of the conditions that's got to be met for your prayers to be answered. You've got to have faith that's going to be answered. What was it that Jesus declared? He said, if our faith was equal to the grain of the mustard seed, you can remove mountains. Well, must not be much mustard seed faith, because we aren't removing many mountains lately. James explained that the reason is why, in the words, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James 1, 5, verse 7. You say, well, isn't that kind of hyperbole? I mean, you have a lot of faith. You really got faith and you want to move a mountain. You just go up to it. God, I want to move that mountain. Well, if it's in God's will that mountain move, you better get out of the way because that mountain's moving. He said, now, come on now. You're going a little overboard. And I say, really? What about Moses? Was that hyperbole too? When he split the Red Sea? Moses didn't split it, but God did through Moses. Moving a mountain and opened up a Red Sea, I'd say it's pretty miraculous. Of course, Moses was the only one that split using God's power. So that's not really out of whack. If it's in God's will, you're not going to glory in it because you didn't do it. But if you're obedient, God works through you. But you give him the glory because you didn't do it. He can only work through you when you're righteous. You repented. And you follow his word. If you read that passage again, James 1, 5 to 7, you'll find James declared that if we waver in faith, as Peter did. Do you know Peter walked on the water? Oh, they have a magician on YouTube that's walking on water in England. Some, you know, there's a lot of supernatural, demonic whiz bang, smoke and mirrors going on here. But Peter was honestly walking on the water till he started having fear. He began to sink. Well, when you pray and you waver in faith, you're not going to receive anything from God. There's those that say, Jesus Christ, come down to my house. Oh, yeah, I've heard this. Oh, absolutely. Big time guys talking to international lectures and all this. Jesus came to my bedroom. And we talked, and or he rode my car. They're dead serious, too. Well, who am I to say otherwise? Until they turn away from the King James Bible, which is, in fact, the true word of God. Or they call him Yahweh or Yeshua. I say, nope. I said, probably somebody visited you. It might have been Sanan de Manuel, the fallen angel. Yeah, probably. But wasn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's not going to glorify somebody that turns away from him and his word. That ain't going to happen. Got to be righteous. Was Sanan de Manuel that looks like Jesus? The fake Jesus? Yeah, he would now. Because he'd give them glory. Because they're supporting the precepts of the fallen angels. Have you really prayed with unshakable faith and not be ashamed? Or prayed really thinking it's going to happen? In his will, not yours? Many think that they have faith when they pray just because they believe God can answer their prayers. But believing that God can is not believing that God will. I hear prayers of strong Christian women or whatever and men. I bind you, Satan. And so how many people can bind Satan? Who has the power to bind Satan? When Michael Archangel had to use the name of Jesus to rebuke that evil angel. The Lord rebuke you, Archangel Michael said. The devil believes that God can, and he doesn't. Well, you know, believing it. It's not believing it, God will. The devil believes God can, but he doesn't trust him to do anything for him. You know, there's those with few people in the world who doubt God's ability. Some people even say, depends on the decade, that God's dead. Oh. I won't stand next to them in an electrical storm. But only a few trusted that ability will expect in faith when they pray. We're like the group that read, talk about in chapter of 12th chapter of Acts. Somebody gets struck by lightning yelling at God and say, God did it. No, God stepped away. Satan did it because he's prince of the air. And then they do it so they can blame God that did it. God killed this one, that. No, Satan did. God caused these things to happen. Uh-huh. So God will get to blame for it. Now, when God gets to moving, it's called the first trumpet. And it's nothing small, let me tell you. It's nothing like a little lightning bolt that knocks somebody down. God, you know, no. This is worldwide tribulation. God don't do small things. The Satan will, and blame it on God, so people hate God. That's what happens. That's what your Freemason evangelists like Pat Robinson and 700 Club will do in the TBN crowd as he holds up the devil horns with his fingers. He's a 33rd degree Mason, by the way. He's a fraud. Family, you got to be able to identify and recognize and stay away from these people. Osteen, the whole line of them. The mega churches, get out of there, man. Get out. Don't even give them your money. They're going to take it and use it. But you know what? They want you to see that too. They are living extravagantly for a specific purpose. And you notice they want you to see it. And you know why? Because you look down on what third term religion. 33% of the priests are pedophiles. The Islam marries children and cuts heads off. They got different reasons for different things. Whatever, whether it's true or not, it happens. Why? Because they have a dialectic. They have the antithesis called the New Age movement. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. We're all one in God, Christ consciousness, or whatever. Bzz, nanu, nanu. Breathe yoga. You want to say yoga in my day? When they said yoga, I said, oh, yeah, I know about the yoga. He had a little partner, didn't he, boo-boo? They said, no, Tom, yoga. I said, oh, yoga? Oh, you mean that breathing thing going on? Oh, like martial arts? So I did that. Yes, yoga? I thought yoga was a bear. He had a little partner named, what was his name? Boo-boo. Yoga bear and boo-boo. Stage right. You know, it's almost time for the end of the broadcast. Family, there are very few people in the world who really doubt God's ability, but only a few trust the ability with expectant faith when they pray. You pray in His will, not yours. If He brings you to it, He'll bring you through it. Well, on this Thursday, I can see we're going to probably go into tomorrow for more about prayer. It's very important about prayer. Some wouldn't believe in God. Peter was in prison. When Peter lost faith, what happened to him? He started sinking in the water. He had a group of met at the house of Mary, the mother of Mark and John Mark. That was to pray for his release. Peter was also prayed for himself. Because the kind of praying that was being done at the home of Mary doesn't get results. Well, God miraculously released Peter. He knocked at the door of the house of Mary, and the girl answered. And when she recognized old Peter here, she ran back and shouted the good news. She said, can't you see and hear now saying, it's Peter, Peter's out here, here he is. God's answered our prayers. Peter's out of prison. How about the response? What happened? Did they say, oh, just as we expected. We expected this to happen. We knew God would answer. No. They said, you're crazy. They are mad. She insisted that it was really Peter. They said, it's his angel. See Acts 12:13-17, they'll tell you. But when they finally saw him, they were amazed when Peter entered the room. They didn't expect God to answer their prayer. They're just playing along with a prayer group or prayer meeting just to make themselves feel good, not really thinking it'd happen. You can't be too critical about them. Because we're sometimes the same. How many of us pray with more than faith than they did? You'd probably say maybe to a young woman that would get on your knees and pray to God to send you a husband. And when they arose to see a man open the door and walk right in, they'd probably just jump out of the window with fright. We ask God in prayer, but really don't expect to receive an answer. Well, and we're always amazed. And I'm not. It's not. I'm not. I'm just. I'm like it too. Sometimes you meet somebody, or you say the same thing as somebody else says, or something like this, and you say, "Wow, that's amazing." Why is it amazing? Holy Spirit brought you together. Holy Spirit influenced both your thinking, and yet we still are amazed. Did you think at the same time? Yeah, I did. What time was it? Wow. Say, we're amazed at it, you know. Like the proverbial woman who prayed for the mountain to be removed and it stood between her house and the town. Next morning she said, still there, just as I expected. Well, James declares that she received nothing from God if we waver in our faith. Oh, how few pray without wavering. But then again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It's his will, not ours. Well, there's three reasons for faith. Now, tomorrow I may have to go over these again because I still got a ways to go. I wanted to try to cover this as much as possible because this is really the most important part, is getting those prayers answered. You getting your prayers answered, what have you got to fear about the demonic realm? Mm-hmm. You study the demonic realm, which, you know, we need to understand how they operate, more than you do prayers answered. It won't solve that at all. Prayer is your main weapon. Well, actually, it's your only weapon. We're coming to the end of the program. I think what I'm going to do is, ironically enough, I've come to this point before, talking about the three reasons for faith about this same time. I'm going to stop there. And tomorrow, we'll talk about the demonic realm, and we'll talk about more about prayer. And I think the time I took up was talking about the blood sacrifice. Why is it so important, and why Jesus? Because you wonder, why would a loving God have such stringent rules? Goodness gracious, blood, death, sacrifice, whoa. That's not cool. Well, it don't matter. I told you why today. Now, don't take my word for it. Just do your own research. Find out for yourselves. We'll talk more about prayer tomorrow night. I want to remind you all that we're played up in highportradio.net. Highportradio, one word, .net. And name is John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. His email is highportradio@yahoo.com. And he's building his network up, putting an antenna up every month, I'm told, and he plays us randomly, and our Bible studies and broadcasts randomly. And yes, we're also played at KBLU Radio in Colorado, Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio. My website is watchfulforjesus.com, and I am pretty close now. It took me longer than I expected to put up the study I've done on HPV vaccination. I'm in the process of putting that up also, but I had to do some work on it to bring it up to date. And a few other studies I'm going to start putting down. But this one's about ready to be put up. Took a little longer than I expected it to take. I have a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, Watchman for Jesus. And then the website, watchmanforjesus.com, and the archives. I send them out on a newsletter type format, which I also start doing a newsletter somehow or another. I've just been real tied up, mostly focusing on this broadcast. Family, we're at the end, so y'all have a great night. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in this broadcast, in this Bible study. Lord, protect us and guide us along your path to keep us righteous, Father, to convict us when we fail. Father, touch those that we talk to, and Father, for those we talk to also teach us that, Lord, Father, we learn about your word. And we pray for your discernment and wisdom. That, Lord, to give us stronger faith. And, Father, to teach us how to pray. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, y'all have a good night. And I invite you again tomorrow, 4 o'clock to 6, my broadcast. And then tomorrow night, the final Bible study for this week. So y'all have a great night. This is the Watchman for Jesus, signing off. Good night.
From him, like sunlight from the sky, guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. Signing off.